God bless you. My name is Aaron Cunningham. I'll be doing a teaching tonight in our Heavenly Father's Word. It'll be an advanced teaching rooted in the ancient Hebrew and in Greek. And tonight I'll be teaching about a little boy named Corbin Wiley. I never met him before, but he was 8 years old. Kind of changed my life. And before I go into that, I'm going to kind of digress for a second, then we'll come back into the teaching. As I was praying for my sister on the phone down in Miami during the hurricanes, praying for her, praying for her family. Wonderful words came out, wonderful wisdom and things. It was prophecy, edification, exhortation, and comfort, which is 1 Corinthians 14. I'm not a prophet, but I just prophesy. But then an explanation and perspective I'd never seen before. And it was, you do your job. You focus, you do your job, work heartily unto the Lord. And don't let anybody else not doing their job bother you. And if your spouse isn't doing their job, you look at them and say, you'll be working for me in paradise. So sometimes your spouse isn't going to be doing their job. And we're going to be sitting there going, and you go, yeah, they'll be working for me. And Jesus Christ came back once and he said, what are you guys arguing about? They go, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Did he reprove them?
No.
No. He was talking about rewards, inheritance, where you're going to be seated, 12 thrones. He goes, good, I applaud you, but you're going about the wrong way. You can look at other believers and you look at them and go, you're definitely working for me, and it could be your spouse. And actually, Rachel and I were talking about that. She goes, that felt a little bit weird. And I go, wouldn't that be great for a husband and wife to discuss that? I'm not working for you, you're going to work for me. Well, you know what you got to do. You got to be obedient. You got to keep Yahweh and Christ first. Christ is your head. And wouldn't it be a great competition for all of us to look at other people and other congregations going, I'm beating you. I know I'm beating you. I'm not beating you, but I'm going to catch up to you. We should be looking. That's what Christ did. Your kids aren't doing what they're supposed to. Well, they'll be working for me too. They'll be there. And as we're discussing that, we said, you know, here in the United States, we have the most abundant country in the world. Our illegal aliens, they're criminals, have the lowest jobs, in my opinion, possibly. Because they're even lower than our janitors because they're on the run. I believe in paradise there's going to be like illegal alien jobs for people who just barely got in. The socialist Christians. It doesn't matter what you do or you don't do. He loves you all the same. They're going to show up. They're going, we made it. What's my job? Jose is your new name. And you'll be right over here emptying trash buckets. In paradise, perfect. But then they'll see us. And when I was growing up, and through this, Rachel and I started discussing this, I said, you know, when we were growing up, there's peer pressure about trying to blend in with people. And Rachel specifically had people that wanted to gyp school, that got into drugs, premarital sex, fornication, wicked things we're supposed to flee from. And there's always this pressure to try to fit in. And I said, Rachel, where are those people now? And she started laughing. She goes, one of them is probably a vagrant. The other one's in jail. The other one's been divorced 5 times. He's got 6 different kids, 6 different women. And I go, who's laughing now? And there's a Toby Keith song that's not a good one. But it's going to be, how do you like me now? I said, do you regret resisting that peer pressure? She goes, no, not at all. So brothers and sisters should be looking and say, you could look at Elijah and say, you'll be working for me in paradise. You could be the youngest one and look at your mom and dad and say, you will be working for me. Oh, and how would they be working for you? You're going to have to, and that's why I thought another thing would be, but he that is first will be last, and he that is last will be first. So the chief servants will have the greatest positions up there. Not necessarily people sitting in front of cameras or people that are really famous and stuff. It's going to be the biggest servants. So you want people to work for you? I'll give them all. And Yahweh sees everything. He loves the things. He goes, when you give him the secret, oh, he loves that. Because you don't get any credit except for him. You pick up somebody's trash, do you get any credit for that? You don't see anybody? You don't tell anybody? But he does. Work hard into the Lord and he will reward you. He sees what you're doing. So I think we should be doing it, specifically with spouses. I'm single. My life is easy. But when a spouse is not doing their job, you just look and be like, man, I hope you like folded clothes because you'll be folded clothes for a long time in paradise. I mean, that's not exactly what they'll be doing, but it's just the mentality. And that's what Christ did. And what happened with Christ with the 12 apostles? How many people were taken up to the Mount of Transfiguration? 3. Well, he's just being judgmental to the rest of them. Oh, it's because James and John are brothers and Peter. It's just because he likes fishermen. No, who spoke up more than anybody else? Peter, James, and John. Who say we'll call fire, or do you want us to call fire out of heaven and consume them? James and John. Who said, who cut off Malchus's ear? Peter. Who spoke up more than anybody? Who was more concerned with truth than the way he looked? Peter. Who got up and he looked like an idiot sometimes, but he was so concerned with getting it right. You ever been in class and you're so embarrassed about putting your hand up? It wasn't until I was 20 years old that I had to confront my own fear, going, I'm an idiot for not raising my hand when I have questions. I don't want other people to think I'm an idiot, but I make myself an idiot by not putting my hand up. I'm going to start raising my hand. And you know what happened when I started raising my hand in college? The teacher would answer me, and then everybody else would be like, and they start taking notes right after my question. And I realized I was leading these people. That's what Peter was, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. Asking questions. Why seek the world's most accurate Bible? Because I want you guys working for me. And you know what I want you doing the same thing, so I got to catch up with you. This life is so short. It's but a vapor. Christ will come back today. We're talking about forever. And the rewards will be better than anything we could ever imagine. So that was a little digression. But reward, paradise, husbands and wives, spouses. That whole thing with Rachel started when a Christian was persecuting me over and over again, and wicked things were happening. And the thought came in, they'll be working for you in paradise. And I started laughing. I'm like, it made everything okay. I'm like, that's right, they will be working for me in paradise. You go ahead and mow those lawns. I got to go out there. And you know what? I'll be a great boss. It's paradise, right? But anyways, the little boy, the 8-year-old, his name is Corbin Wiley. And so here's the story. I was selling my car. Yahweh told me to sell my car. So that took about 6 minutes. The girl that bought the car, it was an incredible testimony. I already gave it once. I started talking about the word and things. And you guys know who Steph Curry is?
Yeah.
Steph Curry is the Peyton Manning, or the Tim Tebow in NBA. Two-time NBA MVP. Twice. He's got his own Christian line of clothing, and he's incredible to watch. He's supernatural to watch. But anyways, he was either 7 or 8. He was getting ready to have his birthday. And his hero is Steph Curry. And so they're giving out birthday invitations, and he said, I'd like to send one to Steph here in Wichita, Kansas. They're going to send this to L.A. to one of the most popular people on the planet, multi-millionaire. He's got all kinds of deals. And the mom said, I don't think you can send it to Steph. I mean, and then she was like, I don't want you getting your feelings hurt. He's a professional basketball player. He probably didn't have any time for his kids. I still want to do it, Mom. So then the mom sat down and explained, only if you confront disappointment, because I don't want to be the one to disappoint you, not on your birthday. What's it going to be like if he doesn't answer? And the kid, which was neat by her, he looked at it and goes, it's worth a shot. Pretty good words from an 8-year-old, right? And here's what started. L.A., that's where we were in California. We're in Northern California, but this is L.A. It's where the Clippers, or not the Clippers, but Golden State. It's L.A., right?
Pretty close to
them. I think it's right around there.
Oakland.
Is it Oakland? Okay. I'm not an NBA fan, but I do watch the playoffs, especially when he's playing.
Oakland.
Anyways, they write a birthday invitation to an 8-year-old's birthday, right? What's going to happen? It goes through the mail. It goes to the Golden State Warriors program. Stacks of fan mail. Thousands and thousands each day. This is what this guy gets. And anyways, I don't know, maybe it was a week later, I think her name's Crystal, she's the one that bought the car. I'm still friends with her on Facebook, I hope she gets to watch this. She gets an email saying something about Golden State Warriors, and she wouldn't even open it. She's not, that's, and so she disregarded it, and she would do something else, and it popped on her head, checked the email, nah, that's garbage. And then something on her heart again, goes, go check it, she opens it up, it's an email from the chief of like public relations of Steph Curry. Says, you're from Wichita. When my staff gets thousands of, my staff and I get thousands of email or letters every day to Steph Curry. But when my staff found out that fan mail, you know, it's come from all around the world, came from my hometown, Wichita, Kansas, they took this one and put it on the top of my stack. I went to Northwest High School. Nobody knows about Wichita. So when Wichita mailed something, put it right on top, he goes, and so he goes, please give me a call. So she calls this guy up, and she's so nervous. I want to talk to Steph Curry's chief public relations guy, right? I mean, how powerful and neat is this guy? He calls up, and the guy's like, real quick, I only got a whole lot of time here, but here's the deal. Steph can't go to anybody's birthday party, but he'd like to do something different, though. How about Corbin come to our game in Oklahoma City? He get a jersey, get to meet the players, maybe come out at the beginning of the game, maybe at halftime. How about that? Would you think it'd be okay to just get to meet him, maybe? Sit on the floor? So she couldn't believe the story. Anyway, she gets off the phone, and I don't remember exactly what happened. She like hangs up, and I don't think she got closure on like how to contact or anything. Like, but she goes and wakes up her 8-year-old son Corbin saying, "You're gonna meet Steph Curry. He's not coming to your party. You're gonna go to a game." And then so I got to hear this testimony about an 8-year-old. Ask him. And he got to meet Steph Curry. I don't know if it was personal, but he was on the floor seats. He got a jersey. I think he might have got a ball sign. And here's all these things. What would have happened if he did not seek?
Nothing.
Would I be telling this testimony? And the neat thing about testimony is this: Christ is in every single one of us, and we give a testimony. He's inside of you going, what he's done for one, he'll do for another. And we're going, golly, that's from an 8-year-old. Now we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It's page 198. You think about that, you go, how that? What are the odds? Man, isn't that a great testimony? And what a great testimony for Steph Curry. He's a great believer. He's an incredible believer. Do you think this went through the grapevine to him? What are the odds? My hometown, of course it did. It went through Christ. Christ is all about testimony. He's about marketing, getting people pumped up. Ephesians 3, verse 20, page 198. I'll be going pretty quick, guys. So if you guys might want to share. Okay, Esther Scout, will you read verse 20, please? Chapter 3 of Ephesians.
Now unto him who is able to do above all things, abundantly above the things which we ask or conceive, according to the power which doth energize itself within us.
Okay, it says he is able to, who is able to do above. Who's he talking about? Talking about Yahweh. You know, Jesus Christ is running the kingdom. Is it hard for you guys to believe that Yahweh and Jesus Christ are able to do above, let me see, all things, exceeding abundant? Do you think is that easy for you to understand that they have that ability?
Yeah.
Right? Oh, of course. Jesus Christ is the right hand of the Creator running the whole, yeah, of course. So why are more things happening? Do you have some desires in your heart you've never gotten fulfilled? You got some Steph Curry things, but you didn't mail out the invitation. And then you see that, and you're like, I'm starting to feel a little bit sorry for myself. So why are some of these desires being answered for us, for regular people? So Corbin, man, I get the testimony of Jesus, of Elijah and the kids in Cabin shooting bucks and deers. And I told my friend Ben Gentz, you go, that's the faith of a child. That's the faith we're supposed to be looking for, the faith of a child. Childlike faith. And that's neat. So that's what this kid did. So there's no problem thinking they have this ability. So if they have the ability, what about me? I got a lot of needs, some desires. Probably want a buck, right? What do you want? Why aren't these things being met? Turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 10. It's page 5. Okay, who will read that for me?
I will. So this verse 10?
10 and 11, please.
Okay. Come, may the kingdom accomplished be thy will as in heaven also on earth. Our needful bread give us this day.
Okay. And so here it says, thy kingdom come, and the Greek word for kingdom is reign. So we think of the word kingdom as terra firma, land. It's not. It's thy reign come. Later on, Jesus Christ says, thy kingdom is within you. Does that make sense? Because we think of England. No, it's thy reign. And if you do what Yahweh says, is he reigning in you? Yeah, thy kingdom come, thy reign come. Each day we can decide who's reigning inside of us, right? We have roommates. We have a good roommate and a bad roommate, right? They don't like each other very much, right? And we go, who's going to decide who's going to reign today? But it says, but it's interesting, in verse 10 it says, accomplish thy will. Thy will be done first. Whose will? Yahweh's. And then in verse 11, give us our needful bread. Your will be done first, and Jesus Christ did that too. Let this cup pass me, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. And in verse 11, give us our needful bread. And so when we're asking or believing for something, the first thing we do is this in Yahweh's will for me. Is this a lust of the flesh? Is this possible idolatry? Is this something that is good? First evaluate that. And if it is good, and if it's in his will, okay. What are we supposed to do? What did he tell them? He says, say this. Did he say think this? No. And Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by reading the word of God, right? By hearing the spoken words of Christ. It doesn't say it comes by reading. Faith does not come by knowing what to do. Faith comes by speaking what to do. And he's telling them, ask! Your will be done first. Now give me my needs. And if you're not asking, whose fault is it? A good example is, here's Tom Brady, arguably the best quarterback in the world. Here he's lining up. And somebody could sit here, here's John Gruden, who does quarterback camps, could say, Tom Brady is the best quarterback on the planet. He can score touchdowns from anywhere in the field. Anybody, does that make sense to most football people? Even if you don't like him? Yeah. What happens if their wide receivers don't run the route, though? If they don't do their job, does he score? No, that's not up there. The wide receiver's got to run the route. And a lot of times, running the wide receiver, how many times do you run a route and you don't get the ball? How many plays are there in the game? You're watching, who's the Broncos, Demarius?
Demarius Thomas.
Okay, how many times does he actually catch the ball? Maybe 5 times a game. How many times does he run a route? 30? Well, he runs each route in faith. And if you only get hit 3 times, and those 3 times are 3 touchdowns, does that compensate? The wide receivers run the routes, and they turn, and then the ball will be there with the best quarterbacks. And as soon as they turn, they expect the ball to be right there. That's what we're supposed to do with Yahweh's blessings. But if you're not running the routes, a lot of times I think, with me being chief, because I have not done what Corbin did, I'm sitting on the bench wondering why I'm not getting any touchdowns. Are you running the routes? Well, I was going to run the route, but the people over here told me that I shouldn't run the route that way. Run the route! What's the route? He tells you. And the thing is that nobody knows your calling like you do. So we know that the do what the word says. Be obedient. Walk in the light as he is in the light, right? Then there's the real important part. You've got to be in fellowship. You've got to obey. Because somebody could be going to church, studying the word, staying awakened from fornication, idolatry, and these other things, but be in rebellion, can't they? If Yahweh said, I want you to teach the word, and they're not going to do it, they're in rebellion. They're not running the route. Turn to Romans. Actually, Ephesians 5:17 is page 199. So isn't that an easy fix, though? If you're hoping for a touchdown pass, and then all of a sudden you find out you're running the wrong routes. Are you serious? They call a timeout and they come over and they go, hey Sean, come over here. You know, on the side of the NFL, they even have high school now. They show you a screen. This is what you did on the last play. You ran what's called a flag. I know what a flag is. The play was a post. What? Well, I ran the post on the next play. And they really show you, no, you ran a button hook. I did? Well, that stinks. Well, you can't change that, can you? You go, okay, next time run the flag or run the post. Run the button hook. That's an easy fix, isn't it? Run your route. Fulfill your calling in Christ, Ephesians 5:17. For this cause, do not become foolish, but have discernment as to what the will of the Lord or Yahweh is. Now, that's kind of out of context, we can apply here too. Sometimes we want things that we know is out of the will of Yahweh, and we're hoping for it. Is that wise?
It
to be hoping for something that, yeah, I went to witness to a guy, and here he's a 59-year-old. He's been divorced. He's a very nice guy. And he's lonely. He's very lonely. And so we'll go out, a bunch of bachelors every once in a while. We build each other up about being single and these other things. And I was talking, I said, Yahweh Christ will reward you with the wife, the desires of your heart, if you fulfill your calling in Christ, if you do this. And he never said much. And finally I said, what is the desires of your heart? And he says, my ex-wife, and I'm going to get her back. And he never said anything before. And I sat down with this guy 5-6 times. I go, wait a minute, I thought your ex-wife is married. She is. And I go, and you want to marry her again? Yes. Well, technically, we still are married, is what he said. And I said, what about this other guy? He's a jerk. And I hope he gets ran over by a bus. And then it slipped out. I don't think he'd ever said it verbally. And I looked at him, and I go, covet not thy neighbor's wife. He goes, it's not his wife, it's my wife. She departed. And I looked at him, and the best friend of this guy had never heard the words come out of his mouth. And I go, love thy neighbor as thyself? Is that Yahweh's will for this guy to get struck by lightning because of what this woman did to him? Impossible. I don't know the whole story, but that is, don't be foolish. Is what you want, is it in Yahweh's will? Is it going to glorify Him? Is it going to exalt Him? Is it going to push you towards Him more? Then great. Romans 12:2 is page 161. And I know I just picked on somebody, but I'm guilty of that all the time. And sometimes I'm thinking of something, and I've never said it out loud. As soon as I said it out loud, what was it, like a Guardian of the Galaxy? No, I think it was a King Kong. The guy calls them school crawlers, and they all start laughing. He goes, actually, I've never said it out loud. It sounded a lot scarier inside my head. Yeah, what do you call them? Well, sometimes we have ideas and dreams. We've never verbalized them. But what does Yahweh tell us to do? Speak. It's the rudder of your ship. You want to know what you're going to go, which direction you're going today? Where's your rudder pointed? What are you saying? It's not easy having brothers and sisters lashing out. It's not easy obeying. It's not easy for a husband and wife to submit to each other, is it? Not easy, right? But where are you going to go today? Use your rudder. Speak. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conforming yourself unto this age, but be transformed yourself by the renewing of your mind, to the end you may be proving what is the thing willed by Yahweh, the good and acceptable and teleos. Transform your mind. He's inside you. You have desires inside your heart that they're not your desires, and you want them to go away, right? Because it makes you feel vulnerable, right? They're His desires. You got a roommate. He still's got to think about a husband and a wife, and the wife always wanted to go to Hawaii. And the husband, they had the resources. The husband doesn't want to go to Hawaii. And so he doesn't want to talk about it anymore. So they argue or whatever. Did her desires ever stop? No. She might not be sharing it with him. I think sometimes we say no to Yahweh and Christ, and the desire doesn't go away. We got roommates in there. Some of these are His desires. And what He wants us to do is conform ourselves and be transformed. What is your will? And then He will reward us. Your children. My son was not my will. I was called out the middle of the teaching, right where I'm sitting right now, that I'm going to have a son. I'm going to name him Aaron. It's not what I wanted to do, but it's one of those things that I knew I was supposed to do. All of us have those things. We have our boss's notes. Did you do it? Oh, he's still there. He found me. But I did do it. Now I would never change anything. I got my 11-year-old son. You guys have your children. How would you change that? Mark 11, page 48. So the first thing is that His will. Okay, anybody think of a scripture specifically? Dad, if you can help. What is a will? What is a promise of Yahweh that He wants for us? That's something abundant. I want you to prosper even as your soul prospers. Be in good health. These other things. I think 2 Corinthians 4:13. He died for us so we could live for Him, not suffer for Him necessarily. Well, we're supposed to suffer, but to live for Him, not to die. What's our job? What is His will for us? To be healthy, to be prosper, for us to be abundant, to not to be independent. But He wants us to become like Bill Gates. He wants us to become like Daniels, Josephs, Davids. Because if there's a David, if we were all Davids in here, and Josephs, How powerful would the hands and feet of Christ be? Whew. That changes everything, doesn't it? So he wants all of us to seek those greater positions in this life and in the next life. Why? Because if we get them in this life, Christ gets them in this life. So he wants you to have these positions. And so some of these dreams we have on the back burner is going to go, hey, not my will, but your will. I don't understand it. I'll make a deal with you. If we do your thing, can we do my thing? Ask them. But don't think it. Ask. Would you read this next one? Verse 24. Esther.
Okay. For this cause I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray for and ask, and believe that you receive them, may it shall be yours.
This is really, really important, because I think 11 verse 24 is a reason why a lot of us are not receiving. Have you guys asked for stuff and not received it? Did you act like you already had it when you asked? It specifically says you should act like you have it when you ask. That's asking in faith. If you are not asking like you have it, that's unbelief. It doesn't mean that it's still not going to happen. He gives us the rewards. So I was trying to explain that to Isaiah when we're going hunting in Canaan. I said, when I go hunting, now this has been a long process of me being developed in this. Now I try to imagine what the deer is going to come out, and then I try to imagine what's going to happen to my heart rate when I see that deer. What's going to happen to my breathing? And then I act it out, just like an actor. You can do it. Can you laugh? Somebody laugh right now. You can. And if a little kid came in here and told you a knock-knock joke that was dumb, could you laugh? Yes. Can you make yourself excited? Yes. Can you act like you're blessed? Yes. Can you act like you just won the World Series? Yes. Act it out. And if you're going to act it out, don't do it for your friends at school or people at work or other. Act it out in faith. What would you do? And so that's real important. So if you haven't received it, are you asking in faith? If you haven't asked it in faith, it's an easy fix. Run your route. Turn to Luke 11, verse 9. It's page 71. And we go back to, I keep going back to, you know, I'm the king of user error. So even when I talk to the help lines, I got to do it all the time. I'll say, look, I know it's probably user error. So let's just, what do we got to do to fix this? The website's not opening. And I'm good at doing that with electronics and stuff, but I'm not always that good with the word. If something didn't happen, if we didn't get the buck that we were claiming, who missed it? Did Yahweh miss it? Did the word not work? Because your feeling's telling you, I tried, it didn't work. That's how you feel, right? Is that true? No. It always works. It always works. Say it. It always works. Say it.
It always works.
It always works. It might not always give you the results you thought. It, Yahweh's word works. If something's broke, it's got two thumbs right here. Where's understanding? Izzy took 15 days, Ocho Grande.
Whatever the season is.
So Israel hunted a buck for a very long time, and then on opening, he scouted it. He confessed he's going to get this buck. He's going to get this monster buck over and over again. We were learning how to access faith, believing and receive. Opening day of hunting season, it disappears. Was it a week? 10 days?
10 days.
10 days, he does not see the buck. At the end of 10 days, he does see it. He shoots it. He harvests it. It wasn't until we went hunting with Isaiah and Elijah, I think, or Cademan, that as I was praying, I go, wait a minute. I was under the impression that his faith was not working until the very last day. Is that true? No. It always works. Say it. Faith comes. It always works. And now I'm thinking, what was happening is, sometimes for bigger trophies, it's like reeling in a marlin. It's going to... and it's going to take off. Really. And when I caught my sailfish, I got sick. I was in the best shape of my life. I was bench pressing 400 pounds. And I was about ready to throw up. I wanted to quit. And the only reason I didn't quit, because the guy was yelling at me in broken English and Spanish, and all these people were watching me. If I was by myself, I would have quit. And I'd get a sailfish. They swim 70 miles an hour. That's a lot of speed, right? I'd get it close, and it'd go back out. It'd get close, it'd go back out. I think it was just like 45 minutes to an hour. His buck was being pulled in, pulled back out, pulled in, pulled back out. And it took maybe 3 months and then 10 days of hard faith to produce that. It always works. Yahweh's word works. And then when we get done, like with Esther, she did with her hunting trip, that you say, and if I don't get the results that I want, I'm not going to pout. But that sounds silly, right? But how many times do we pout? If we, I don't want to talk about it. we should go to Yahweh in faith and say, your word always works. I will not pout. I'm always victorious. And I have the trophy. I got it. And that's faith. Luke 11, verse 9. Okay. Who would like to read 9, 10? How about 9 through 12?
Okay. I therefore unto you say, be asking, and it shall be given to you. Be seeking, and ye shall find. Be knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. For whatsoever asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh shall be opened. But which is the farther from among yourselves, whom the son will ask for a fish, who instead of a fish will give him a serpent? Or shall also ask an egg, who will give him a scorpion?
Verse 10. Because sometimes, you know, that sounds so silly until you don't get your buck. And then we walk around and kind of mope a little bit. And they get to be around younger people. And I say, if you ever want to learn something, you teach it. So getting to teach and be with my nephews and Cayman, I learned so much. Because as words start coming out, Yahweh and Christ's wisdom comes out, and I sit there going, holy moly. And that's what he got me. It always works. I'm like, yes, sir, it always works. I don't always work, so there's a user error when it comes to the word. But here it says, verse 10, if you ask, you will receive, is a good way of saying it. If you don't ask, will you receive? Do you know what your old man, your flesh, your other roommate, your wicked, you know what he says? He'd try to say, if I think it, I should receive it. If I desire it, I should have these things. Right? Because you have desires and thoughts, they haven't come into fruition, and you feel let down, right? All of us do. He says, ask. Did you ask? Verbally. Well, by myself, well, let me ask you a question. Does it take more faith to ask in a closet or to ask in front of a group of peers? It doesn't necessarily mean that's the way you do it, but we know what floats our dad's boat. Without faith, it is impossible. Sometimes I'll be like, oh, I thank you for this so much. Okay, I gotta go. I'm not going to tell anybody. I don't want to get let down. I don't want to get, but you're going to know. You know, confront it. Be like Peter. What do I got to do? What do I got to do to get this thing? Go to believers and say, you know, at times I've gone to people and I share with them what I'm at. I say, I'm going to get this. That's not how I felt. I want to get this thing. I got it. And then the believers around me, they'll go, did you ever think about doing it this way? I know. That's genius. We're the hands and feet. And believers came back to me and they go, we're in agreement with you, but I think, I'm afraid about it. I think you're going, you're just off a little bit. Aaron, you're supposed to be running a fade, not a, you're running like this. Run straight, and then you receive those things. Do it in front of people. If Yahweh, there are some things you're supposed to keep to yourself too. And he said, Peter, James, and John, tell nobody this vision. There's some things he's going to say, don't share it with anybody, like your guys' testimony at your house, because if you share it, their unbelief is going to affect you. One real important thing I was ministering to my mom when she's up in Canada, she's going to heal. We're going to heal Grandma Mary, right? How old was Abraham when he had a kid? 100. How old was Moses when he climbed a mountain to die? 120. It didn't say he had anybody help him. It didn't say he had a walker. It didn't say that he took a handicapped bus. He was healthy, right? And so with my mom, the word for me was like, beware of unbelief. If you're going to be, unbelief is like a rattlesnake. You cannot tolerate. And if there's unbelief in our lives, that we should love each other, say, you got to get rid of that. And I had that last night. I had a spider right on my mouth. I was drying my hair, and I felt a string. Like, you know how you feel like a little string off of fabric? I forgot. And I did that to blow it out of my face. And when I opened my eyes, it was a big brown spider. When I went, oh my God. I was so glad that Yahweh didn't tell me there's a spider in your hair. That would have freaked me out. But that could possibly be a brown recluse. And actually, they look a lot like it. I don't think it is. But I'm going to go, you got to die. I'm like, I'll release these guys sometimes, but if they crawl on my face, you got to die. Anyways, unbelief is like a black widow. And if you see a loved one in your household confessing unbelief in a loving way, take them aside and say, you are steering your boat to a waterfall. Is that what you want? Because I love you and I know your desires is to go up, not down. Well, I do. Well, then you got to quit steering your boat. Turn your boat around. Confront that. And Jesus Christ did that with Peter. He said, get behind me, Satan. And Satan just means slander. Adversary. I think it means adversary. Why? Because he had to confront Peter's unbelief. And we should do the same thing. Turn our boat around. James 1 verse 5. 2:34. How about Mel? Could you read 2:34, the book of James, it's probably Jesus Christ's little brother, verse 5 and 6.
Alright. But if any of you is coming short of wisdom, let him be asking of Yahweh, whom giveth unto all freely and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him.
And when I was in college, I put that on a post-it on the right above my desk. How do you get wisdom? Is it because you had a need? Is it because you felt like you needed wisdom? How do you get it?
Ask.
If you don't ask for it, do you get it?
Yeah.
No. You don't ask for it. You don't run the route. Don't be complaining. You don't get the ball. If a wide receiver comes back in the huddle and says, you're the worst quarterback ever. We're going to get you fired. Run your route. Do your job. And here we are sometimes, probably me being cheap, chewing out, not verbally, in my mind and in my heart. Christ can see my thoughts and hear my thoughts, right? He did it with the healing. He perceives our thoughts. And guess who I'm chewing out? The quarterback. I got let down again. See if I ever put my head out for you. I'm thinking these things. Did you ask? And we should say, Father and Lord, I repent. And I ask for forgiveness for every time I blamed you for my errors. So we come back. You need wisdom for your school? Ask. You're in a public school? Even a better time to be praying. I saw you over there. What are you doing? 1 James 1:5 says, if I ask for wisdom, you'll get it. Really? That's weird. You can think whatever you want. I want an A. Verse 6. What's this say? Go ahead, Mel. Go ahead.
But let him be asking in faith, nothing doubting. For he that hath doubted it like a wave of the sea, wind driveth a storm toss.
Wind driven and storm toss, a boat like this. If you are asking, and it's not in faith, that's what this is. When we are asking and praying, oh, I thank you for my wife. What is this? Who are you kidding? Yahweh's going to give me the best wife. Nothing can be taken that Yahweh can't replace, right? Have you guys ever lost something? Guess what? If a thief steals something, I get sevenfold back. Ha! I lost something. I'm going to get something sevenfold back. It's what the scripture said. Andrew Womack did it, right? Ask in faith. And how do you know if you're asking in faith? Mark 11:24. What does this say? If you're not asking like you already got it, you're doubting. And so all of us, obviously I'm very animated, understatement, right? But you're going to go, how would you act if you really believed? If you guys saw me moping around going, I'm just believing God. You call me, I go, Aaron, why don't you practice what you preach? You're the most energetic person there is. If you really believe, you'd be dancing. Okay, I need to make myself excited. And that's what you should be doing. But if you're not doing it, you're going to go, okay, user error again. Deuteronomy chapter 4, 2 and 3. So you check it. Okay, we're checking user error. What's going on here? Why am I not possibly getting these things? And I think a lot of times we're too embarrassed to verbalize what we really want. And sometimes what we really want is very uncomfortable, and I believe a lot of them, it's not even us. Because our flesh, does it desire comfort or discomfort? Comfort. So why do I have desires to make me uncomfortable? That doesn't make any sense. That's from the adversary. Or it's your roommate who wants to stretch you. We're a work of art. He wants to stretch us, get us out of our comfort zone. He wants to get us flexible. and you're going to go, and if we keep coming back and the desire doesn't go, and if the desire doesn't go, and the desire doesn't go, then we get down and say, is this your desire? And a lot of times it's a rhetorical question. He's not even going to answer. You know it's his desire. Why do you think it didn't go away? Okay, I think this is Mel's with running. I don't think it was her desire. Yahweh's calling her to be a runner. I'm not good at running. You will be. You'll be the best there is. Right? You run college track. So what we do is we sit down and go, is this your desire? It's like a husband and wife. You really want to talk about this? Yes. And then you take your mouth and then you go, I am a runner for you. And I am. And then make it. Let somebody read Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Israel, would you read that?
Mm-hmm. I can't find it. Okay. If thou shalt seek from thee thence Yahweh thy Elohim, then shalt thou find him. And thou shalt search after him with all thy heart, with all thy soul.
There was a guy in a library, and he was complaining. And he was whining, he was moping around. His buddy goes, what's wrong? He goes, I've never found a buried treasure in all my life. 67 years old, never found a buried treasure, ever. Oh. All right, sorry to hear about that, Bob. How many times have you looked? Well, I haven't. How many people say, I don't know Yahweh, I don't know the Creator? Have you ever searched him out? I'll give you his address. Here's his email address. No. What's it say here? If thou shalt seek from thence Yahweh thy God, then shalt thou find him. You're not going to find buried treasure if you're not looking. Right? So that we should correct people and love them. A lot of times you go, if you're not looking for answers, if you're not, if wouldn't it be neat to be able to understand a matrix or a labyrinth or come up with a whole new formula? You know, be like an Einstein. Are you seeking? Are you asking? I think my dad's really good at that. Knocking, seeking. And what does it say? How do you seek Yahweh? If you're not opening the book, you're not seeking him. Or you're very little. So all we do is he's in there and he's waiting for each one of us. Come on in. Come on in. It makes me think of Yoda. When Luke Skywalker, come on in, here's this little guy, and here's Yahweh going, I'll take you on all kinds of adventures. I know you like horses. You want to read about horses? And all of a sudden he'll direct you, and all of a sudden you're reading about chariots of fire. A horse that's on fire. How beautiful is that? Yahweh will take you to the biggest adventures there are, and he will teach you if you submit yourself. But you got to be seeking. it's an action. Hebrews 11:6, page... I didn't write that page down. And so this is a big one, because this is your good roommate, not your bad roommate. Your good roommate is transparent. He doesn't deceive you. He's consistent. He tells you the truth when you don't want to know the truth. I used to call him guilt growing up. Oh, it's a guy. I can't get away with anything. Thought I got away with something, then I felt so guilty. And that roommate, he was so transparent. He did not tell me what I wanted to hear. That's called the new man. But my other roommate, man, he's the coolest guy ever. But he also lies. He deceives. He's a slanderer. He tricks you. He accuses you. That's your new man. You're going to go, man, so your old man. Your old man wants comfort. He wants pleasure, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. That pretty narrows a lot of it, isn't it? Hebrews 11:6. This, Esther, would you read that?
Mm-hmm. But apart from faith, it is possible.
Nope.
Impossible.
It is possible.
Impossible.
Impossible to be well pleasing. For he that approaches unto Yahweh must needs have faith that he is, and that to them who seek him out rewarder he becometh.
I thought you were reading the New Living Translation when you changed him. Possible. The New Living Translation. Blasphemy. It is impossible for you to be well-pleasing to Yahweh without what?
Faith.
Faith. faith, by definition, is you stretching and getting out of your comfort zone every day. That is what he wants. Impossible. We have a mediator between man and God. Who is he? Jesus Christ or Yehoshua Mashiach, right? How many times I used to go to him, I was begging him, going, I really don't want to do this. I wanted out of it because it's going to require a lot of faith. And one time I got called out, and Jesus Christ was like, Aaron, what's really going on here? This was being communicated. It went audible. And I was like, I just thought that by the time I got 27 years old, I'd have it all figured out. Man, the word, I got a mortgage, I got a car, and now you're asking me to change something. And now here I was, and this was going on inside, and then it was communicated, Aaron, you don't want faith. You just want all your money to come in, you want all your bills to be the same, all your relationships to be the same, right? That's what you want. Sleep in, no work. He goes, there's one problem with that. That's going to really tick off my dad. He owns the business. What is it? Oh, yeah, what does he want? Faith, Aaron. I'm your mediator. It's not going to fly with the boss. So when he asked you to take a risk, that's good news. Because would you like a reward? Would you like a buried treasure? Say it. Say it. Yeah. Say, I would. Hey, I would. There's your boat. How do you get to be rewarded by Yahweh? It says it right there. He must needs have faith that he is. So you have to have faith that who is? Yahweh is. And that to them who seek him out, a rewarder he is. That's a great grandfather, isn't he? He's waiting. Want a reward? Yes. Seek the greater ones. Luke 11, verse 5. Now, when you guys turn there... We're going to go back to Luke 11. This will be wrapping up. Is it? What is the first thing we should do? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Okay, thy will be done. That's the first thing we're supposed to do, right? Who is our Father in heaven? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yahweh Elohim of Hebrews. Thy will be done. Is it Yahweh's will for us to do what His Word says?
Yes.
He commands you to be seeking. He commands you to be asking. He commands you to be knocking. If you're not asking, you're not seeking, you're not knocking, you're in rebellion. That's His will. He wants you to be seeking, be asking. Is that a tough one? No, that's a really good commandment. Be seeking, be asking, be knocking. He's going to ask you to do a difficult thing. Have you ever been there where you know you got a real difficult job to come up? He tells you maybe he tells you you need to correct your dad. Oh, that's my dad. He's my supervisor. And you know what you're supposed to do. And all you can see is the obstacle in front of you. Do you know what you're supposed to do? Think of a reward that makes it worth the while. Okay, I got something. What would make it worth your while? You go, okay, would it be that? And then you go back and you go, He's a rewarder. He will reward you for being obedient. So to be asking, be seeking, be knocking. And how should you be asking, seeking, and knocking?
Faith.
In faith. Like James says, which is according to Matthew 24, like you already have it, however that is. Luke 11, verse 5. Who would like to read that for me?
I will. And he said unto them, who from among you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, supply me 3 loaves.
Yeah, we're going to read through 8.
And he from within shall answer and say, be not disturbing me, already the door has been fastened, and my children with me are in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto thee, even though he will not give him raising because of being a friend of his, because at least of his importunity, he will arouse himself and give him as many as he needs.
So John Shannon did a teaching on this back when we went to a thing of Spirit and Truth. He said back in these days, what you had is everybody slept in the same room. And they had a hole in the ground, which was kind of the cooler, and they'd have a big rock that went over the top of it, so the ground would go in kind of like a root cellar type thing. And he said, who of you comes and knocks on the door? Everybody's in bed, sleeping. And he goes, how you would do is you would yell through the door, what? Izzy, it's Aaron! What do you want? And he goes, I need some food. And that would require Izzy probably to light, he had to start, probably possibly start a fire to get, I mean, he could just not have any light right now. He could just be yelling. Izzy's gonna go, all the lights are off, all the family's asleep. I don't want to start a fire to light a lamp. It's too late. And Jesus Christ says, but if that guy keeps, Izzy, I really need you. Izzy goes, oh my goodness. If that happened 5 or 6 times, he said Izzy would light a match to get the candle. Is actually probably what they call a dish. Not a dish. What do you call those things? Lantern. Lamp. That's what they call it. He'd get up, he'd light it, he'd light the lamp, probably wake up all the rest of the family. What's going on, Dad? What's going on? Shh, go back to bed. He's all grumpy. Moves the rock and grabs a piece of bread, opens it up, throws the bread at him and closes the door. Get out of here! I'm going to go back to bed. Jesus Christ goes, all of us understand that, right? He goes, we're supposed to be doing the same thing to Yahweh. Asking, be knocking. He's going, if that guy would do it, how much more would your Father in heaven? The Father who gave his only begotten Son, who died, the death of the cross. If he gave us that, why would he not give us? So why aren't we getting these things? Are you asking? Are you asking in faith? And I think all of us should be saying, you should be asking that in faith. I know how you act when you get excited. You should be doing it. Are you knocking? Are you seeking? And the big thing, are you seeking Yahweh each day? And those are the big ones. And so that comes back around to a little boy named Corbin Wiley. Never met him. And I got to hear that testimony. And after I heard that testimony, I realized I'm really missing it in a lot of areas of my life. We only get one shot at this. And then we should remind each other when other people aren't going the same direction, you'll be working for me. You can do that as siblings. You'll be like, okay, they're not doing their job. Yeah, they'll be working for me. Christ will come back tonight. Right? You do your job. That's what he says. You run your routes. And hopefully with the brothers and sisters, the people that love you, if they try to beat you, is that good for Yahweh? For you to esteem me higher than yourself, that's in Philippians 2. Is that good for me? If Esther is esteeming me higher than herself, yeah, that's her obeying. And that's what we're supposed to do. Love each other as herself. Our neighbors herself. Now, so, easy fix is how to correct user error. Now, the last part is going to be, I want to give you guys a little motivation. It's 4 minutes. Okay? So.
Christian life is not a playground. It's a battleground. So today, I will give no place to fear or failure. I will not accept a trace of apathy in my attitude or actions. I will reject complacency and embrace the greatness that God has planted inside of me. I will waste no opportunity to glorify God and maximize everything He has entrusted to me. I will fight. My battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual enemy who opposes me. So I will draw the battle lines and face my enemy with a bold determination. I will dismantle every argument and pretension that he presents, which contradicts what God has spoken. My enemy fights against me because he fears me. And every time he reminds me of my past, I will remind him of his future. Every time I resist him, he must flee. And every time I speak the truth, every stronghold must surrender. I will fight. I will make no excuses, but through every obstacle, I will find a way. I will not procrastinate my progress. I will not defer my destiny. I will not waver when I'm weak. I will not cower when my circumstances take a turn for the worse. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fight. I will pursue, overtake, and recover everything that the enemy has come to kill, steal, and destroy in my life. And even if I lose the battle, I will win the war, because I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I am raised to life with Jesus Christ, and I reign with him because I look to him for strength. I will reject the lies that echo in my mind, telling me that I don't
Jesus Christ, my Lord, I will fight. I'm unashamed to represent a kingdom that is unshakable. No one will be able to stand against God's plan for me all the days of my life. With my God, I will advance against every troop. With His help, I will scale every wall. Though my enemies surround me, my God surrounds my enemies. Though they may come at me one way, they will flee seven ways. Because no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every evil thing that rises against me, I will condemn, I will fight. I have determined to build my life on the solid foundation of God's perfect word. By faith, I will activate every promise He has made. And I will aim these promises as weapons of mass destruction, obliterating every opponent. The weapons God has given me have divine power. I defy and defeat sin because of the finished work of Christ, my Savior. I am wholeheartedly devoted to the cause God made me for. And I have no intention of letting the world define me because I know who I am. A humble warrior, a good soldier, a strong and mighty servant of the living God. In Christ, I am courageous. In Christ, I am confident. My heart is steadfast. My purpose is immovable. I am always abounding in the work of the Lord. And my potential is unlimited because the limitless God lives within me. I will fight. The cross is before me. The world is behind me. I'll never turn back. I'll never give up. I'll never settle. I'll never stop short. I will press toward the mark for the prize that is already mine. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate me from my God. And if my God is for me, who can be against me? I will fight.
Great.
So that is Peter Furtick.
Yeah, I have to get a copy of that.
Yeah, so I bought it today. So my friend from South Africa is the one that sent that to me. Her father's the one that gave me all these scriptures. He gave me a prophet. These are all his scriptures in his order. And so from South Africa, Janae's father sent me a prophecy, and here's all the scriptures. And I don't know this guy. He says, make sure you read the scriptures. Even if you know the scriptures, read them. So I read it at first, and I'm like, I'm not sure what to expect. And I read it, and I went, oh my goodness. And then even today, what I wanted to do with all these scriptures, I wanted to customize it. I was like, well, what am I going to do? And I got reproved. You do what I told you to do. Well, that's his teaching. I'm not going to get any credit for it. It wasn't his teaching. It was Christ's teaching. And so that's it. The thing is, Peter Furtick is like a German last name. And it's called I Will Fight. And he's a pastor, and he's got a bunch of those different things. So I ended up buying it. And so I'm like, that's something we need to listen to every morning. So actually, I sent that to my mom in Canada, who's going to heal my grandmother this weekend. Okay, so now we're going to hear from our Heavenly Father, according to 1 Corinthians 14. I'll give a prophecy for the viewers. I thank you, Father, for these words. Know that the time is now. The time is now. Choose to start living. I give you an option to come with me each day. To stop surviving. Stop crawling through this life as if you're a peasant. Just barely getting by. When I've called you to be seated in the heavenlies with me. That's your place. And see this world as a glimpse that soon it will be gone. Much work is there to be needed to be done. And I will glorify you. I will build you up. I will protect you. I will lift you up, and I'll meet all your needs according to His riches and glory if you obey me. There is nothing better than what I have called you to. There is no satisfaction as great as what I have for you. So just choose to believe. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, I believe, therefore I speak. Start speaking what you should be believing, and your faith will be built, and you will overflow. Don't look at other people whether they're going to follow. I ask you to follow me as I ask Peter to follow me. Forget about them. You follow me. I'll take care of them. And if you do your job and follow me, I'll be able to do the same thing with them. Stop distracting them. That's all you can do is to obey, to do the word, and to follow me each day, to fall down on your hands and knees 3 times a day, to glorify me and my heavenly Father. And as you do so, I will build you up. I'll give you peace that cannot be duplicated. There is nothing like the peace I give you. There is no drug. There is no high. There is nothing like the peace that rises above every mind, the peace in the mind of Christ, which I give you. I build you up. I know me. I know me. And I am inside you. I am know what I'm capable of. And I am inside you. And I am speaking to me inside you when I say these things. So charge yourself up. Pump yourself up. And deliver yourself from the snare and from the old man that wants to pull you down into the pit. And deliver and get running as fast as you can. This life will go by just like that. And one day I'll have my arm wrapped around you and we'll sing all the glorified things we did together, and you and I will rejoice. So do these things and live. God bless.